running on all cylinders. The time is 6:10 p.m. You are still listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 on your FM dial or online worldwide at KOOP.org. This is the Mascot Wedding Show Radio's Hour of Unspeakable Power. My name is David Hotta.
My name is Mac Blake. This is the show where we open the phone lines to the community. Anytime you want to call in and be a part of today's show or turn my levels up, the phone number is 472-5667, 472-KOOP. Anything said on the show is just the opinion of the person that said it, nobody else's.
Yes, we were supposed to hear Guided by Voices off the Under the Bushes, Under the Stars album, but my burn didn't work for the first time, I think, ever in the history of this show. So instead, from the Pisces Aquarius Capricorn and Jones album, that was The Monkees with She Hangs Out.
Burn Don't Take?
Nope.
Burn Don't Take. And after that, it was Best Coast Kid Cudi and that dude from Vampire Weekend with a track called All Summer. And are you saying that dude because you really don't care about him? Or are you saying that dude because you don't want to try and pronounce his name? Because you'll probably get it wrong.
Ezra Koenig?
No.
Oh, then there's no other dude in Vampire
Okay,
Weekend.
Yeah, exactly. That's the reason why I'm doing it. Yeah. Not because I don't want to try and pronounce his last name and get it wrong.
Right.
I feel like an idiot. Hey, Mask, were we here last week?
Yes, we were here last week.
Craziness.
Yeah, because you had just gotten back from Italia.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we talked all about it.
Hey, I smashed the barrels.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're going to win.
Yes. I'm going to win. Wario. What does Luigi say on Mario Kart 64?
He says something very inflammatory, which I can't repeat on the radio.
What do you mean?
It has to do with, you know, vindication racially.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I know. No, go ahead.
Mario, of course, his famous line is, Mexico!
That's right.
It's of Let's Go.
Yeah.
Which, whenever I hear Let's Go, I finish in my head with To Mexico. So it kind of works out. I was at a coffee shop just now working on some stuff, getting my tunes ready for the show.
Right.
And short of porn, I think what was on my screen was like the most embarrassing thing that I could have had.
Which was?
Like if somebody like walked by and like looked at your screen and you're like, oh, this guy comes to a coffee shop to work, but really he's just on Facebook. Like, you know, that's kind of whatever.
Right.
But somebody looked at my screen as they walked by and I was looking at a funny cat gif, like an animated gif of this cat that was like, you know, crawled into somebody, the sleeve of a jacket and was trapped.
Well, that's pretty adorable then.
It's adorable, yeah, but at the same time, it's like, oh, I got to get out of the house to do some work, coffee shop guy. Can't, don't like looking at your cat gifs in peace.
My follow-up question to you is, how many phone numbers did you get as a result of having this on your computer?
Someone told me to get out, I think it was. Excuse me, looking at cat bits.
Did I ever tell you about
what's up?
Did I ever tell you about one of the trips to the library I had? I think I probably did. But you know, they've got that bank of computers that everybody can use for like a half hour or whatever.
Sure.
For research purposes in theory. But when I walked past, people were playing poker and I saw honest to God actual pornography taking place on the computer.
Honest to God pornography?
Honest to God. Yeah, the kind we were weaned on. But it wasn't it wasn't like they were looking at erotic art and I just, you know, thought it would be funny to say it was pornography. No, this was the kind of stuff not safe for work, comma, libraries where people go.
I like, you're a pretty good person, David. You know why?
Why?
Because if you saw someone looking at some adult pictures, you'd be willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, like, that could just be erotic art.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They could just be appreciating the female form. But no, when you see a chicken mask get involved.
What if researchers and sort of like, you know, bandwidth reports or whatever have got it wrong all these years and people are just looking at erotic art?
What? Oh, yeah. That'd be great. My mind would be blown.
They're like, pornography? No, 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 no.
No, we're just appreciating the mail.
Man, I am two big weaknesses of mine.
What's that?
This is why I can never be the daywalker. Because I got all of your strengths, right, David?
Yes.
But I have two very big weaknesses.
Oh.
One of them is I can't hold an accent for very long.
Okay.
Like if I was going to be like, Mamma Mia, it would eventually turn Scottish or something. Like, I'm like, Mamma Mia, let's take the dukes it. Like, what? Yeah. And then also, I can't, like, you know, what would you, if there's a piece of music, like a rock song, and you were like, bow, bow, like sort of, you know, making noise, mouthing the song or whatever. How, what would you refer to that as? Because you're not humming. What are you doing?
No, you're like, I would almost say mouth guitar at this point. Because it's not quite air guitar.
Terrible at like mouth guitar along to songs.
How so? In what regard?
I always I like lose it. Like I know how Running with the Devil sounds in my head.
Yes.
But I can't replicate it with my mouth.
Okay. So you'll just sort of go off on like a on your own song path.
It'll yeah, exactly. And song path makes it seem better than it actually is.
Yeah.
Like, so, give me a song you know I know, and I will give a full faith effort here.
Enter Sandman.
Okay. That's pretty close, right? Right?
It sounded like you need to tune it.
I also like when I'm doing that, I still air guitar, even though I cannot play guitar. How are you, David?
Oh, the levels. I'm. You know what? I'm actually the start of the show set the tone. And I am.
So you're awesome?
I'm a little. Yes, yes.
You're amazing.
I'm a little in the flesh right now.
A little in the flesh.
Yeah. I'm trying not to take it out on the listeners. Definitely trying not to take it out on you.
Oh, listeners, by the way, 472-5667-472-KOOP. By the way, special shout out to listener Chris S., who approached me outside of a building and said he was a fan of the show.
Wow.
And he said, it's weird seeing your face after hearing your voice. And I was like, yeah, you're preaching to the choir, buddy. Every time I look in that mirror, it's weird seeing this face.
How did he know it was you then?
I think I introduced myself. I was in a situation where...
You're testing your levels.
No, but I was giving the traffic and weather on the 8th.
Speaking of shout-outs, am I going to say one thing? Star Sparkles. There you go.
What is that?
I just made $28.
I don't understand.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay. In other news, goldencasino.com. Oh, actually, isn't Golden Palace Casino?
Whatever.
Providing us with topless entertainment.
Gold. Yeah, that's right.
At inappropriate times for many a year.
How are you, Mac?
I'm doing pretty good.
Cool.
I saw the ESPYs on TV this week, or a little bit of the ESPYs. Are you familiar with those?
Yes, where athletes come out to shine.
Yeah.
Finally.
Now, I kind of get a little mad at, well, I get mad at a lot of things I shouldn't get mad at, but useless, unnecessary award shows are one of them, and I feel like the ESPYs really is, like, just absolutely useless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like, it's like, oh, let's give awards to athletes, to people who play sports. Sports is nothing but giving awards.
Yeah.
That's what you're – like you, if you win at sports, you're winning. That's, you've already won.
Right. You're the clear-cut winner once you win.
Yeah. Like you're giving awards for awards.
Yeah.
It's just – it's – and it's like best team. And it's like Lakers, you know, where Steelers or – who won the Super Bowl? Saints. Saints, like Lakers, Saints. It'd be funny if the Steelers were nominated anyway. Like the Alabama,
they were clearly better.
The Alabama Crimson Tide. I was like, this basically your entire show is like a drunk guy's argument. Like, the Lakers are cool, but the Alabama football team's better. Like, how could that ever be a category?
Right.
It's very stupid. What also surprises me is the fact that these athletes like show up to this.
Mm-hmm.
If you were Kobe Bryant or something, like, why would you go to the ESPYs? And it's like, you know, it's like, oh, well, they're going to give me awards. Like, yeah, they're going to heap praise on you. Guess what, sports people? That's all anyone does is, like, heap praise on you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this shouldn't be something new. And then somebody was like, oh, well, the ESPYs, like, that's the one time the athletes get to, like, dress up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, usually you see them, you know, in football gear or occasionally they're in a suit walking to the arena. But, you know, this time they get to dress like they're going to the Oscars or whatever. Here's an idea. Go to the Oscars. But also it's like, oh, so that's why they have the ESPYs, so the athletes can dress up like that. It's like the MTV Movie or Video Music Awards, which like no one cares about because it's not for music.
Right.
It's for the videos,
mm-hmm.
You know, like and who like so basically it's like best doesn't matter.
The
at
most
all.
Dazzling video.
Yeah. But that's not the point of the Video Music Awards MTV. The point is like do you get all these like entertainers at one place and hopefully do something stupid that people will talk about.
Right.
You know, the next day, Kanye West cough. And that to me is a sign of a very stupid award show. But something that the ESPYs in the short time that I watched it mastered like nobody else. So Seth Meyers is on stage. And what I saw, I thought he was doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, he did all right.
Of hosting. And I actually liked the Will Ferrell bit.
Yeah.
Did you like that?
Did people not?
No, people didn't.
Oh, how about that?
It fell a little flat is what people said.
I like the Vuvuzela sound.
Yeah. Yes. But what they did is like, so Seth Meyers is up there making jokes and the cameramen, I guess were instructed to be find the athletes not enjoying this.
Right.
And just rest the camera right on them. So Seth Meyers makes a joke and it's actually, you can tell, you can hear laughter. Laughter makes a sound. So you can tell it's getting a good reaction, but let's cut to like Reggie Bush looking at Seth Meyers being like, I don't understand. And I'm not even talking about when he like made fun of Reggie Bush.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just talking about like, you know, a general joke. It's just like, Like, if basically he was able to find the athletes who weren't excited.
Right.
And I feel like this happens a lot at award shows. Like somebody will make a joke and they'll like put the camera on Uma Thurman during the Academy Awards. She's just like completely plussed, like doesn't care mm-hmm. at all about it.
Yeah. Here's what I will say in rebuttal to, you know, why do the athletes go? Because they're heaping praise on you. You get that all the time.
Yeah.
Athletes like that.
Oh, you know what?
Athletes love attention and praise.
Touche.
Yeah. So if you would just said, hey, we're going to have an award show. What's the award about? We're just going to give you a basket of money. They would also come to that.
You know, here's what surprises me. Like the MTV Movie Awards, mm-hmm. which is completely pointless.
Yes.
I feel like for that, a lot of the time, if I was a big name actor mm-hmm. and you're going to be like, hey, you know, you're nominated for like, you know, best smooch
right.
during the MTV Movie Awards. I'd be like, oh, am I going to win? Like, nah, we can't tell you that. Like, well, then I'm not showing up.
Exactly.
I feel like that happens a lot. Yet, what's that guy's name? Christoph Waltz.
Yeah.
Who's nominated for like best villain mm-hmm. and who did for Inglourious Basterds. Academy Award winner, Christoph Waltz, who did not win the MTV. It's like, he showed up to that.
Right.
And it's like, really? Like, are you even disappointed? A, why did you show up? B, like, you know, now that you're here, like, and you lost, you know, whatever the Twilight villain. Oh, actually, it's the Harry Potter kid.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Malfoy or whatever. Yeah, I'm not even going to try to pretend. Here's the funny thing about that. Speaking of the MTV Movie Awards, which thank God we get to know what MTV thinks finally. I forget what the category was, but Ken Jeong won. Dr. Ken.
Yeah.
For his role in The Hangover. So he gets up there, accepts the award, and starts crying his eyes out. He was like, finally, I did it. This is for my wife who survived cancer. And I wonder if the people are at MTV are like, oh, why did we let him win? He's ruining our jovial mood by showing actual human emotion and gratitude.
They would give out like Lifetime Achievement Awards or whatever. Yeah. And they gave one to like Chewbacca one year.
Right.
You know, Chewbacca. And then the next year they gave it to like Clint Howard.
Yeah.
Ron Howard's like scary younger brother.
Yes. His male tier brother.
Yeah. His frightening little troll of a younger brother. I think he might have actually played a troll in a movie.
Probably.
But Clint Howard got up there. And they show like a little retrospective of his career. They had people talking about him, and it was kind of a touching tribute. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't had a terrible career.
No,
he's had a pretty decent career. And he like went up there, and it was like, this is like the biggest honor he'll ever get. And I kind of was like, felt like sick to my stomach mm-hmm. about the MTV people because they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna, because it's clearly a joke.
Right. Yeah.
Giving a Lifetime Achievement Award to Clint Howard, they were basically like, oh, this is a joke. It's like kind of giving a Lifetime Achievement Award to like Ted Raimi, like director Sam Raimi's brother that he just like sticks in every movie.
Right.
Who played Hoffman in Spider-Man, in case you didn't know. Yeah. And they were like, oh, we'll give it to this guy because clearly who would give him one?
Yeah.
And then when he went up there and like loved it, it was like, oh, look who are the giant douchebags. Mm-hmm. The complete... I'm trying not to swear.
Yeah, it's
complete,
very hard.
The complete jerks, you know, for trying to set up this joke, and it turns out that he liked it.
But I just feel, MTV is so devoid of any sort of guilt, where they're in the back and watching Clint Howard genuinely appreciate this. And is like, look at this idiot. Look at him. This is the best thing that'll ever happen. You know, we did that. We made this highlight of this sad guy's life.
I bet, you know, I get a feeling that the people that work at MTV aren't awful people.
I feel like they are.
They just think that their audience is awful people or that they like awful stuff. And clearly they're right on some degree.
You know, that's true. Well, they're right on a very large degree. I sort of get that feeling about the way they're talking about Inception in theaters now. You know, there's sort of that whole like predict how much it'll make this weekend. And a lot of pundits, a lot of people who do this for a living are saying, yeah, America's dumb. They're not going to want to go see a smart movie. It's like, really, guys? Like, Even if that's true, they like going to movies. Like, why is their intelligence factor so heavily in their decision?
Did you see Inception, David?
I did see Inception.
I saw it too.
What did you think?
I think we saw it together, actually.
Oh, that's right. You're the guy sitting next to me.
That's right. Hey.
Back, right?
Yeah, I know. Okay. Hey, it was funny meeting the guy. We'll talk about that a little later in the show, and we'll try not to. We'll go spoiler light.
Yeah.
But to get back on ESPN to wrap up that ESPN quickly, it's feeling like MTV to me.
Oh, sure.
And that decision special like LeBron James, that didn't help.
No, it didn't. But you know what? I'd say that didn't help LeBron. I mean, obviously it didn't help LeBron James, but I don't know if it really hurt ESPN, because it's ESPN. Like, that's what got me. Like, a lot of people coming out against it were like, I can't believe ESPN's putting devoting an hour to LeBron James. It's the middle of summer. Like, what else are you going to put on there? Why are you upset about this? Like, it's not taking over network news. It's not like we interrupt ABC News is breaking in with the LeBron James decision. It's like you're taking away from poker right now.
Well, the ratings for it were insane.
Yes, astronomical for ESPN, yes.
But the beef I have with it is not that they decided to air this, because clearly it's news and people are interested.
Of course.
Even though it's like 2 seconds of news.
Yeah.
I'm going to Miami, as Seth Meyers made a joke about on the ESPYs. It's that they let LeBron, like, basically he set it up. He hired his own interviewer, like Jim Gray, who does work for ABC, doesn't he?
He works. Who does he work for now?
Well, he used to be a professional sports.
Yeah, he did. I keep picturing with NBC, and I can't shake that. I think he might be. I don't know.
No, I think he used to work for ABC, because I remember him interviewing people that were just like not interested in Jim Gray.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Gray being like, "Hey, what do you think of this, Kobe Bryant?" And he's like, "Oh, here, let me put my cigar out on your face.
Let me turn you over in a trash can."
Yeah, exactly. Hey, here's the back of your underwear over your head. But Jim Gray was getting paid by LeBron James.
Right.
He was like, "Here, ask me these softball questions and I'll nail them out of the park." But you know what? That's an unfair comparison, ESPN to MTV, because ESPN still has sports content.
Yeah, they still have what they set out to put out there in the charter.
ESPN isn't a culture network. All right. Actually, you know what? That's a thing. They're still a sports culture network.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they're still doing an okay job of it.
Oh, they're doing a great job. Like, it's not 23 hours of Stump the Schwab and then an hour of Around the Horn. Like, they're still showing sports that are bread and butter. Yeah. They've got that fluffer content.
Around the Horn is a dreadful show. At least they're... What was that show where they tried to do their own, like, basically Any Given Sunday, the series?
Playmakers.
Yeah, Playmakers. Yeah, none of that ESPN. And apparently, they're the 30 for 30 film series.
Is great.
Is it 40 for 40?
It's 30 for 30.
30 for 30. Amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So you know what? I'm going to shut my mouth. Look at that, folks. Change my mind right here on the air.
And I was just about to tell you not to shut your mouth. You were on the right track. But I'll take it where I can get it.
Yeah. That's what. That's why you like the show, I'm pretty sure. Because of the stupid, pointless ranting. And the open minds we like to keep.
Because they get to listen to you grow as a person.
Exactly. 472-5667. You could have called in any point during that and been like, shut up, let's talk about this. But you didn't.
Yeah.
So you're as much to blame for this, the show, as we are.
Yeah, I feel like you kind of went back again.
I'll see you dead. Do you want... Wow. Sorry. It's just, you know, I'm so used to getting threatened on this show.
Totally.
I just...
I like how I just very nonchalant. Oh, yeah, we get threatened all the time.
Yeah. Threatened with something. Do you want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break. I hope this CD works. And if not, I'm singing.
I like your attitude.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
You're singing. Actually, we'll play another song.
Well,
I wonder if that ever, you know, like the projectionist is like at a movie theater. Oh, man, we've had some trouble with the Toy Story 3 reel. If this doesn't work, we're going to have to act it out. Because we're living in a sitcom.
That's why I got fired from that movie theater. Played it a few months ago. Yeah, I'll play it again because I like it, Oneida. It was a wall off their Rated O album, More Masked Wedding Show, after this.
Oh, got kind of funky there.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is the Masked Wedding Show. I'm David Hatta.
And my name is Mac Blake.
The phone number is 472-5667. We just heard Rated O. No. Oneida off their Rated O album. And I'm not going to look it up. Hey, how are you, audience and Mac?
Oh, I can't speak for the audience, but I will. They're amazing.
Good.
As are we. As am I. When people get things wrong ever so slightly, I don't know why that's so funny.
Like I just did right now?
I was someplace. No.
Okay.
Like I was someplace. No. I was someplace earlier and MGMT song Electric Feel.
Right.
Was playing over the loudspeaker, the PA system. And somebody was like, oh, I like this song. What is it? And another person goes, oh, it's MGMT Electro Feel. And I don't know why, but I loved it. Well, I loved it. Electrofeel. Oh, brother. Yeah, back more, Matt. What did we just hear? You already said that.
I already said it.
But Inception.
Yeah.
The movie that everyone named David and Mac on the radio was talking about.
Yeah, it was Oh, do you want to start or do you want me to?
So we saw this movie opening night.
Yes.
And
Slash morning,
yeah. And man, I think I told myself I wasn't going to see any more midnight shows because I'm always just exhausted the next day.
Right.
And I get a little tired watching the movie. It's like, oh man, I can't wait to, I'm so excited about this movie that I want to watch it when I can barely stay awake.
Right.
But I had no problem with Inception, staying awake.
No.
But we did show up, and I guess maybe it's been a while since I've seen a midnight movie that I've lost my ability to be like, all right, here's when you got to get here. Because we went to that Bob Bullock IMAX, mm-hmm. the only IMAX in Austin. And I thought we got there in plenty of time, but we were the close to the last people in a giant line.
Yeah. Yeah, because the Bob Bullock Museum outside has that rotunda. That's the word I'm using, right? And we basically looped around to where we almost basically touched the front of the line because we had gone all the way around it. And that was a very long line.
Yeah, but we made it in, obviously. Mm-hmm. And that was the first movie seen in the IMAX, like flat movie, 2D, I guess. Wow, already brains aren't working.
The flat movies, yeah.
Because I've seen in a non-IMAX format. Like, I've seen, you know, like, Alamo, Price of Freedom, and Secrets of the Grand Canyon.
Awesome.
And Bodies in Richard Nixon's Car. Like, but I've never, this is the first sort of, like, you know, a Hollywood, you know, movie.
Right.
And at times watching it, I could be like, all right, well, there's Leonardo DiCaprio's face, bigger than anything I've ever seen before. I guess he's emoting. Can't really tell, but
well,
you get used to it.
We were anyway, also, we yep. also, we ended up in the front row.
Front row is pretty good seats, though.
Not the worst seats, but you do have to scan the screen. Like, it's like you're basically reading a book on the screen. So if Leonardo DiCaprio is emoting on the left side, you'll get to it. Or, you know, on the right side of the screen, you'll get to it eventually.
But like anything else, you get used to it.
Yeah.
You kind of forget that you're watching it.
But that the Harry Potter trailer at the beginning, I had to like look down and reset my eyes because I was like, if I vomit during this movie, I am going to be so upset with myself. And I didn't.
I'm glad you didn't.
Thank you.
But anyway, that's not important. David, Inception.
Uh-huh.
What'd you think of it?
Oh, here's the thing about Inception. I could talk for 10 seconds about it and be satisfied, or I could talk for 10 hours and be satisfied.
You hated it that much, huh?
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I loved it so much that I'm hesitant to talk about it, because I don't want to cloud other people's opinions of it. Like, the one thing I hate about this movie being, or about loving this movie so much, is that I know backlash is coming, and I'm dreading it. I don't want to talk to people who don't love this movie more than they love life.
I thought the movie was great.
Yeah.
Inception was great. It's when I was expecting it to be good. I was, like, super hoping it would be, too, because this summer has been pretty awful.
Dreadful.
In terms of movies, yeah. Which it's, I was having a conversation with someone. I was like, this movie season's been terrible. And like, what are you talking about? And I was like, well, what are the big movies? She's like, Shrek 4, hello? And I was like, and our movie conversation is done.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, I was expecting something good and I got something great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. Christopher Nolan, I don't know what his next movie could be, and it doesn't matter because he should be allowed to make it. It could be like The Stabbing of Mac Blake, and I'll be like, I'm excited about that.
I wonder what the twist is.
Yeah, who's writing and directing it? Oh, there you go.
Oh, it's a physical twist of the knife. Okay.
There was times watching this thing, and I'm not even going to tell you the times just because I don't want to give anything away,
mm-hmm.
That my mouth was agape.
Yes.
Like I was sitting there looking at the screen, just slack-jawed, so into it.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is great in this movie. If you don't know the plot, is these people,
mm-hmm.
will sort of what would you call them? Corporate raiders, almost.
Yeah, I would. Yeah,
corporate espionage people, corporate spies. Mm-hmm. They the plot of the movie is they can go into people's dreams, and they're trying to steal information from people's dreams, and then they get a proposal, like one final job, one last job, mm-hmm. for Leonardo DiCaprio. And it's kind of dangerous, but they take it. And the cast is great, and including Tom Berenger.
Yeah, good for him.
Tom Berenger, who I think was just chopping wood when he got that phone call. He's like, hey, that's a lot of logs. Bring, yes, I'll be in a movie. Oh, thank God. Cries forever.
Runs his hands under warm water to get rid of the calluses. You're absolutely right about, you know, your mouth being agape. If people don't like this movie, I'm okay with it because I loved it so much. I'm going to say that so much. But here's when I knew, because I have been watching movies for a very long time, as have you, as have a lot of people. I don't get impressed anymore. I'm not saying that to be a snob. I just, you know, you can see where there's computer animation, or you can see where there's a stunt guy or something like that. There are moments in movies that'll take you out of movies, and where they're trying real hard. Inception had about 3 or 4 moments where I am just like, wow, how about that? Like, it got me. I was such a sucker. It felt like I was watching Last Crusade, like when I was 9 years old, and it's like, that guy's face is melting. What? Like, it was great.
Yeah, like there's a Tom Hardy.
Yes,
a character named Eames.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even recognize Tom Hardy. I go, that guy kind of looks like Tom Hardy, but he's like 30 pounds heavier. Turns out Tom Hardy just gained weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. My brain could not find the easiest path from A to B. Like, I was like, well, the guy looks like Tom Hardy. Probably it's not him, though.
Yeah, that guy's not bald and naked and pummeling guys like he was in the movie Bronson, so it can't possibly be Tom Hardy.
Yes. But his character is a forger.
Mm-hmm.
And when you find out what that means, that was another part where I was like, oh, man, so good.
Yeah.
Something that, here's kind of something we debated on the show before. Mm-hmm. Oh, we've definitely debated on the show before. So 2 years ago was kind of a great summer for movies. You had Iron Man, mm-hmm. which was a lot of fun, and more fun than Iron Man 2. No offense, Iron Man 2, Iron Man 1 was a little bit more fun.
A lot more fun.
And it also had The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
And these are movies that were fun, and I didn't feel stupid for liking them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next summer, Transformers 2 and like G.I. Joe came out.
Oh, God, yeah.
But Transformers 2 was like the hit of the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or actually, the hit of the year, wasn't it?
Mega blockbuster. Yeah, it definitely was.
I mean, because you could say Avatar made most of its money in 2010.
Yes, it did.
Okay. Transformers 2. And there was that debate, is there room for Michael Bay in a Christopher Nolan world?
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that we can get an awesome, like, you know, super big budget, big name, like, you know, property like Batman, and make it an awesome, smart movie, do we still have to sit through, like, terrible crap like Transformers 2?
Right.
So now that we've had kind of, I feel like up until this point, another pretty dumb summer.
Oh, my God. It's been an awful summer.
I mean, it's just full of, like, the exact same thing that every summer's full of, where it's just like, hey, either it's sequels or properties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, nothing original coming out. Like, oh, let's do Iron Man 2. We'll do a sequel to Iron Man. Or, hey, we'll update a TV show like A-Team, or Here comes like another Shrek, or hey, The Sorcerer's Apprentice is opening the same weekend, which I, why did you do that? Disney, I'm real, you know what? If that thing, like, I don't see how it doesn't get crushed.
Oh my, no, there's no way.
But they're like, you know what? It's a completely new film. It's not tied to anything. We're just letting a director who also, you know, he also wrote it. We're just turning this guy loose and it came up with something great. Do you think it's going to change anything?
No.
If Inception, you know what? We're assuming, of course, Inception will succeed. Because if it doesn't, it's not like I'm going to, like, you know, quit movies.
I can't believe you guys weren't on board with this.
But I will be disappointed
mm-hmm.
in everyone. You don't think it's going to change anything?
No, I really don't. And I was thinking about this actually the other day, where when like Little Miss Sunshine came out and then Juno came out, there was this thought that indie movies are going to go this way, where they're just going to be too cute for their own good and like try to be ultra, you know, the sort of Diablo Cody effect post Juno. And it didn't really happen. Maybe in a couple years, maybe like, maybe the writers will get their stuff out sooner or later than we thought. But it hasn't happened yet. We thought it would be immediate and instantaneous. This isn't going to change anything. Transformers 2 or the Transformers franchise is still a bankable franchise. So that'll always be out there.
Yeah, and then we're going to that third terrible one right now.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's funny because Megan Fox got fired from that one, and they just replaced her with another, like, robotic pretty girl, mm-hmm. like, the next day.
Yeah.
So they obviously don't...
It's awful hard to find gorgeous women in Hollywood.
It's the worst. It's the worst job in America. So, they know what the formula is. They know loud, exploding, some jokes... Put it out there. And 4th of July weekend, go. They're not going to want to mess with that, I don't think.
But this movie wasn't good in the way like an Iron Man was good.
Right.
Because the Iron Man was good because it took sort of like this formula, or it took something that people are used to, like a superhero origin story.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of making they basically gave it to a good actor, and actually a couple good actors. And, they sort of like, well, we're going to be cool, but we're also not going to take ourselves like too dreadfully seriously or mm-hmm. something like that and we'll have fun. And Batman was just like, well, let's do Batman. Let's be smart about it. But Inception isn't, it isn't changing any formulas. I feel like this is just sort of like a, it's not, I don't think there could be any sort of trend to come out of this. The only trend I could see coming out of Inception is that Christopher Nolan gets to do whatever he wants from now on.
Oh my God. He's untouchable at this point. Like, and
his,
really, and
his budgets will be signed off on, you know, like, you know, without, but yeah, just, I approve.
Yeah. And the funny thing was, like, going into it, Inception felt like it was the studio doing a favor to Christopher Nolan. Like, all right, you made us a lot of money. Do you want to do something just in between the second and third Batman? Oh, you want to make this movie about dreams? Okay, fine. We'll give you some money. And then, yeah,
it's like, hey, can you make Batman 3? I'd like to make something else. Oh, please, whatever. Just make Batman 3.
Yeah.
Did you see how much money that Batman Dark Knight made? That's insane.
Yeah.
Just please make whatever you want. Just come back for Batman 3.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it won't even inspire people because the script took 10 years to write.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He started in 97. Hmm. He started, around the same time he was writing Memento. Which, geez, buddy, save some for everybody. Like, but yeah, I mean, this isn't going to inspire people to, like, there's nobody writing who's going to, like, hunker down more and be like, I got to write smarter. You just either do or you don't. And so, like, I don't think, like, Orci and Kurtzman are going to, like, all right, we got to make this, you know, whatever other dumb project. We're going to make Lost in Space 2 even smarter. No, it's just, I mean, you either have it or you don't.
So you don't think that if, let's say, a studio is presented with a project and they were like, oh, man, I don't know, this really doesn't fit that summer movie mold.
Right.
You know, like, it doesn't have, it's not a property, it's not a sequel. You don't think that they'd be more willing to bankroll because of Inception?
No, I just, it's so funny about the movies. It's so funny about Hollywood, the way it works.
Hollywood David Hott over here.
Yeah, yeah. You know, for all the money they put into research and development and punditry and predicting and stuff like that, they still won't see a lot of things coming. Like, I remember people were gobsmacked, or people at least within the industry were gobsmacked when The Hangover made as much money as it did. And like, really? Like, you didn't, like, you know, it's sort of, it's riding that Apatow wave, but also just making it more palatable. You didn't think it was going to make a ton of money? Like, why is that a surprise to you?
And you know what? I was surprised that it was that good. And mainly because the directed by Todd Phillips, like, he had turned in a couple stinkers after, like, you know, Old School.
That's true. Yeah. And yeah, he was coming off of School for Scoundrels.
Yeah.
Which, that's not the best movie to come off of. But he still had it in him. I mean, you know, there's dorm rooms, littered throughout this town that still have copies of, Old School and Road Trip. So, he's got it in him. And then to make it like a hard R movie about Vegas, like, I don't know. Anyway, where was I going with this? Yes, I think that was the answer to your question. I forget what it was.
But if you want an example, and I may have used this in the past, of I hate just using Hollywood, a generic term. But like, the head of Warner Brothers, after Dark Knight, he was like, you know what, we're going to reboot Superman.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to do a sequel to the Bryan Singer, Brandon Routh Superman Returns. We're going to reboot it. Because you know what audiences want? They want Superman to be dark.
Yeah.
Like you know, like another movie was. Mm-hmm. You mean like The Dark Knight? Yeah, if you your example, not mine.
Right.
And it's like, you know, that's not the point of Superman, is to be dark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, that guy who can fly and like an eagle and he can soar above the... Oh, why isn't that darker?
Yeah. You know what? Here's what I'll say.
It's like, people think that dark and gritty equals smart.
Right. As much as I was enamored and impressed with the movie itself, the 2.5 hours that I sat in that theater, as I left the theater, I was reflecting on it. I'm more impressed with the autonomy that Warner Brothers gave Christopher Nolan. Like, I mean, I'm surprised there weren't script doctors reading it and just giving him all kinds of notes like, well, this doesn't make sense. And what's the payoff here? And we, you know, just because that happens to so many movies. Like, as much as we chide Hollywood. Yeah, I do kind of hate saying it a lot. As much as we chide the movies for being dumb and just, you know, being too simplistic or following trends, there are smart people working in them who just get their ideas watered down. Like, I don't know if we talked about this in the air. I know we talked about this face to face about the Robin Hood script, like, which also came out earlier this summer. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Like, the Robin Hood script was originally supposed to be called like Sherwood.
Yes.
And it was from the perspective of
the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was basically a crime procedural where there's this guy stealing from the rich and giving to the poor, and we've got to find out who it is. It was this nice little twist. I would have loved to have seen that.
It doesn't necessarily sound great, but at least it sounds different.
It sounds different, and depending on who, really Scott's behind it, I would... He's got good movies in him. I don't know if you know that.
Ridley Scott's amazing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they actually, when you hear about the process of Ridley Scott, his sort of over when when the Robin Hood script or Sherwood or whatever came under his jurisdiction, these sort of decisions and whims that he thrust upon the writers, that makes you go ooh, really?
Right.
It's that awful person, Kevin Smith, who we told we wouldn't talk about on the show anymore, when he was writing his Superman movie and that producer was like, I kind of want a giant robot spider in it because people like giant robot spiders. And that producer, whatever his name was, his next movie was
John Peters.
Was Wild Wild West. Right. And sure enough, there's a giant robot spider in there. Set in the Wild Wild, of course.
Yeah. It makes the most sense in the world.
Because people like steampunk, I guess.
They did. I wonder if that movie started the whole thing.
Yeah, it didn't.
Because there were so many people watching it. No one got inspired by it.
Another feat. I mean, we're sort of talking around Inception, and I am okay with that because I don't really want to ruin anyone else's experience of it. But Inception is the way it's set up. It's like he sort of lays out these rules for this is how the movie's going to work. He lays out a puzzle.
Yes.
And then he has those characters sort of. And mazes and basically a maze or a puzzle. That's kind of the theme of it's one of the themes of the movie.
Yes, sure.
And it's kind of hard. It's one of the trickiest things to do, and he accomplished it beautifully, is the way you sort of bring the audience along and explain everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we hate those scenes where it's characters are just where they sort of beat you over the head with how this is going to work.
Right.
When a character explains something and then another character goes, can I get that again, but in English? Right. Basically saying could you dumb it down for the audience?
Yeah.
It's so what I'm saying is we need to stab Dr. Colossus. All my stuff is there. But the way that this movie worked, you understood everything and you never felt the characters were turning to the camera and going hey, dummy.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how this, there is a couple moments where they're let's remind everyone, but it felt that was the perfect time for
no,
it.
They were explaining it. And I'm glad you brought that up. They were explaining enough to let their cohorts know what's going on.
Yeah.
But at a certain point they're okay, let's start because it's basically, it ends up being essentially a heist movie and you'll see that from reviews. I'm not giving anything away. So they're okay, this is the plan as far as you need to know. Let's go. And they're also saying to the audience, all right, audience, we're leaving. You can either fall behind or you can come with us. They're not talking down to you. I like that. I appreciate that a lot.
By the way, I think Peter Travers' review of it, he said something people are probably going to say this movie's James Bond meets The Matrix.
Mm.
And then the ad for Inception was James Bond meets The Matrix, says Peter Travers.
Yeah.
It's really? Oh. That is, that's pretty simplistic. But they're basically where your mind is the scene of the crime. Mm-hmm. And I remember when the first teaser trailer for Inception came out, I was man, I have no idea what's going on here, but it looks impossibly great. And, they say your mind is the scene of the crime. And so a lot of stuff happens in this movie inside people's subconscious, inside people's dreams. I don't think that's a spoiler going in. And, one of the cool things about it though, is I don't want to say that, but it's the way they set up their attackers in the movie is so awesome and creepy,
right?
And you still get, but even with all this stuff going on, it's the reason for violence, reason for awesome gunfights, it's it doesn't feel stupid.
No, it doesn't feel tacked on. Everything makes sense within the universe that they set up for it.
Like the fact that there's a guy on a motorcycle in one scene, pulling out a shotgun to blow someone away in a car. And next thing you have people in the snow, firing bazookas at each other. Mm-hmm. You have all that in a movie. And it's yes, on board.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I think you almost word for word had that in G.I. Joe. But they just didn't have a way to connect it. It was all right, scene 38, car chase, guns, everything, motorcycles. Scene 39, mountain, skiing. It really was, just people. This movie had stuff that people will like in a summer action movie, but they just connected it in a smarter way.
Yeah, you want an example of like a terrible failure at that? Like that last Indiana Jones, where it's it was like, this is happening. Why is it happening now? Because why not? Like, you know, like, oh, hey, there's ants for no reason.
Yeah.
And once these ants are, have eaten a person, like these killer ants, we'll just move on and they'll never, you know, come into factor again. Like, why? Because it didn't matter in the first place.
Right.
But Inception, I'd give it top rating.
I think it's fantastic.
Top rating.
I'm glad we worked out that system. That sounds...
I give it top rating, apparently.
Yes.
Because screw articles. A top rating, the top rating. I give it my finest recommendation. A whole lot of fun, and I will enjoy those conversations where people be like, "Yeah, overrated."
Oh, you know, it's coming. It's definitely coming.
And then they get that glassy eyed look, sort of like you're gonna do some, or not glassy eyed, but the eyebrows raising, like they're trying to like bait you.
Yeah.
In arguments, like, well, you know what? I like what I like, so. Mm-hmm. You win.
Yeah, so. I mean, the same thing is going to happen with this that happened with The Dark Knight. You're never going to meet in the middle. You're never going to say, well, what about this? And then the other side says, you know, you're right. No, everybody's going to have their opinion. And actually, I sort of braced myself for it because I do this all the time. There wouldn't be a show without it. I saw it Thursday night, Friday morning. I went online and started seeking out negative reviews of it. Just like, what were they thinking? And a few of them were very... They had... There was a lot of stuff where it's like, too confusing. Well, who's this guy? And then I'm reading and I'm like, oh, well, this guy is this, where you're not paying attention. Like, there were several instances where I'm reading reviews going, oh, are you not paying attention? Because it's very easily explained.
I don't know if you do this, but I know that if I like something this much or as much as I liked Inception, I'll seek out negative reviews just because criticism of the movie is more interesting than what I would do, which would just be like, Inception, and then clap my hands. And, you know, wave a little pennant that says Inception.
Oh, sure.
Because I liked it that much.
I love well-thought-out criticism of things I like. And there are a few outlets that I can go to, but for the most part, there was one guy. Yeah, if you go on Rotten Tomatoes and just look for the green tomatoes and click those, mwah, wonderful. There was one guy from, like, Grand Rapids who was like...
Grand Rapids.
Take that, Michigan.
Like, that place has an opinion.
I forgot, actually. My friend from Michigan's listening today. His opinion was like, I'm drawing a blank now. I was like, I wish I was in a dream and that I woke up at a better movie. Like, he just wanted to get the line that would end up on other people's dissenting opinion DVD boxes.
Uh-huh. Like, dissenting opinion?
Yeah. But
that'd be interesting. It'd be like, there's a great population that wants this movie but doesn't like it. Could you put criticism on the DVD cover box? Not so great.
Seen better. But I'll say this. Oh, wow. Coming up against it. I'll say this. This cracked me up. And I mentioned it to you earlier. One of the blog comments was about, you know, because there's a corporate espionage. Like the heroes are... corporate spies. It's a heist movie, again, like I said.
But even, are they heroes, David?
Exactly. Oh. This blog commenter was like, so we're supposed to root for these guys who are basically blah, 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 you know, stealing and committing crimes? Nice try, Mr. Nolan. I was like, God, you must be the worst person to go see movies with. Like, did you not like Heat? Like, those guys are criminals, too. They're robbing a bank. That's tangible.
But yeah, once again, the way the movie's set up, though, it's like a puzzle.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when you're... drawing a line through a maze, you're not like, I hope the good guy wins. It's like, what? Yeah, that because the maze is the bad guy?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I hope to get out of there.
like the eraser? I don't know how it works. Anyway.
Call it a day.
Yes.
Wow, I rallied through.
Call it a day.
This has been Inception Talk.
Beep. Next week, the last episode of Inception Talk. They booked us for 30 episodes.
Where our heroes find more Inceptory.
Yep.
That.
Stay tuned for the Clear Spot coming up next.
I guess so.
Right?
For more information about Mascot Wedding, including archives of past shows and information about various night jobs and side gigs, you may visit mascotwedding.com. Email us mascotwedding@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. Keyword Mascot Wedding. What are we going out with, Mac?
We are going out with a new track by Cut Copy off of their as yet untitled album.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of it is, what does it say?
Where I'm Going.
Where I'm Going. I'm going home, David.
Goodbye, Mac.
To watch Deadwood.
Nope. Nice.
TMI? I don't think so.
Eh, not so much.
Okay.
Goodbye, Mac.
Go. Goodbye, David.
Goodbye, Austin.